Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Ham Nation is brought to you by Audible.com. Download a free audiobook of your choice. Visit audiblepodcasts.com/hamnation.
And by ICOM America. ICOM America, the leaders in IFDSP. Learn more about IFDSP from ICOM America. Log on to www.icomamerica.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 72, November 7th, 2012. Bob's organ transplant. Hello, everybody. It's time for Ham Nation. This is Bob Heil, K9EID, and I'm back. Well, sort of. We're coming to you via SAT tonight. That's via the satellite, via SAT, and out here in the middle of nowhere, Missouri. Pleasant Hope, population 614. And we're glad to be back. We've been on the road a lot. We'll talk about that maybe later, but missed everyone. And so we're here to have some fun and also to really get down to the truth of what ham radio means in times like this. Hi, Gordo. How are you? You doing good?
We're doing just fine, Bob, and we can't wait for tonight's podcast to take place, unfortunately, in the midst of the snowstorm that's going on right now with some of those that we're going to be talking with. Back to you, Bob.
Yeah. Well, that was Gordon West, of course, the great teacher of ham radio, WB6NOA. And down in Mississippi, we got the guy that tells us all the things about how to make smoke and solder work. Hey, George, how you doing? Are you doing good?
Hey, Bob. Yeah, doing fine. And boy, it's good to have you back tonight. I tell you, we've missed you the last few weeks. And Gordo and I, you shouldn't leave us alone that long. It's no telling what kind of trouble we're liable to get into.
Yeah, but I got with one of the road crew. You see, that's the way it is because rock and roll runs with Apple. I guess you guys know that. Concerts would never, ever get off the ground if Apple wasn't around, it looks like. And one of the road guys took my iPad and said, "Do you use that thing?" And I said, "Not very much." He said, "Come here." And he set up a bunch of stuff in it. And next thing you know, I got Skype all up there. And then I talked to you the other night. So, well, I have a backup on my iPad. I know I'm going to get flames from the chat room and everybody else. I'm stupid when it comes to some of this stuff. I shouldn't be, but I am. Got too much else going on. What do you do about that, George, when you're too busy to make things work?
You make it up and nobody will notice.
Well, I've been really busy. You can see behind me, we put in another one of the cabinets today and the towers up and all that. But we're not going to talk about that. We want to go back to Gordon because Gordon's got some serious stuff. So Heil's got to shut up. We've got to spend some time here and get serious about ham radio. And Gordon, you've been in contact with several up on the East Coast during all this ridiculous weather that they've had. So, Gordon, take it away and let's hear some of the interviews you did, and then you can and let us know about just how serious ham radio plays in those kind of disasters.
All right. Well, thanks, Bob. And certainly the East Coast getting hammered right this minute with a snowstorm right after Sandy. So we're really thinking a lot about those ham operators that are giving their time. And just a moment, we're going to bring another ham radio operator on. But the East Coast is having in about 2 weeks the get together of the Radio Club of America. And for those that have not heard about the Radio Club of America, go to www.radioclubofamerica.org, and you'll see the big activities that'll be taking place a week from this coming Friday. Dave Sumner of the American Radio Relay League, K1ZZ, is going to be the awards banquet speaker. And also getting an award at the awards presentation for RCA is Carol Perry. And you may remember Carol had been on the show some time ago, WB2MGP, Mighty Good Professor. She has worked with the school system for years. She's getting the President Award. But when we made contact with Carol, she was not very happy with this report. So take a listen on this report just in about 20 hours ago. And I think you'll see that they're really having a tough time at Staten Island. Take a listen.
I have a downed live wire in front of my house that's being worked on. There is, again, no power. We've got to leave this area again. Tree knocked over another wire, so I figured let me just let you know I'm alive. And showered. I don't know how else to even keep in touch with anybody short of sending smoke signals. I would say best guess is to keep trying the cell phone if you can. We have a compromised landscape around the island on the whole east shore right now, and we're getting ready for a nor'easter. And they're predicting a possible 3 to 6 inches of snow. Gordon, I've never seen images like I've seen in my life of people without homes, people who have no place to stay. And we're helping out with erecting tents and flashlights, et cetera. So I'll keep in touch as much as I can, but it's been a devastating, horrible, horrible experience here. And most of the ham radio operators are busy tending to their own homes, those who are still lucky enough to have homes. So when I can, I promise I'll get through to you, but it's just awful. As bad as it looks on TV, it's 100 times worse when you see the people. So I will try to keep you updated. I will look forward. I'm hoping to see you next week.
Well, we are too, Carol, and thanks so much for that report. And right now, they have 6 to 8 inches of snow coming down. But the Radio Club of America is still going to take place week after next. And then a week after that, I'll be at KJI in New Jersey, and we'll be talking to the hams there. So for 2 weeks, I'll be in New York as well as New Jersey, and I look forward to meeting as many hams and helping dig out with all that sand and all the things that are going on. And we have another live ham, Al, K1 Lima Tango Juliet, one of our net controllers. Al, maybe you can give us a live broadcast as to what's happening in your neck of the woods and how the hams are taking part in providing emergency comms during this nor'easter that's hit town. So, Al, over to you. And how about an update on all that's happening with ham radio on the East Coast? Al?
Yeah, fine, Gordo. It's really been quite something here. I can just echo what Carol said. I'm about 65 miles northeast of New York City. I'm in Fairfield County, Connecticut, and we got hammered. We got hammered here. They got it worst in New York and New Jersey, but I was without power for 5 days, and what I was doing was I went out in the driveway. I have an RV. I fired up the generator in the RV, and I was running the house and the radios. In fact, last week's 40-meter net off the generator in the RV. But right now, we're getting hammered again with a nor'easter. And I would say I've got at least 7 to 8 inches of snow on the ground right now. And there's lots of wind that's still coming down, and they're forecasting ice and sleet for the rest of tonight. So it's not a good situation here on the East Coast. We have our emergency operations center, and everyone pitches in and is, you know, standing by when needed. But we've had lots of power failures, trees down, the hurricane. This year was quite something, and now to have the nor'easter and the snow right on top of it, for some people, I'm lucky. I have power right now. I got it back last Friday. But for some people, this second punch is just way too much, you know?
Wow, that's really something. Now, Bill Pasternak of Newsline has been keeping me up to date. Bill, as you know, comes from New York, so he knows all the secret ways in to get me in next week for the RCA banquet. And we all are asking, we don't hear much on the HF, so are most of the comms going on now between shelters and evacuation centers on VHF and UHF, and what extent is their digital communications? Back to you, Al.
Yeah, you mean the digital communications here, Gordo?
Roger, that's correct. Over.
Yeah. Well, in the state, we have some, not locally, not here in my area, but of course, there's lots of packet communications in the statewide network. And D-Star, there is some in the southern part of the county, but there's not a lot of that right in the greater Danbury area where I'm located and in this particular Aries area. But we have a number of FM repeaters that are activated in emergencies.
Well, that's great. Well, we appreciate that report. And, you know, there's been several magazine paper reports about the utility of a simple AM/FM radio, one that maybe has the weather monitor capabilities as well. This one comes from C. Crane, and beside having a crank dynamo to keep it going in case you let the batteries go down, it also has the capability of being a two-way FRS GMRS radio. So some neat things out there, and we certainly encourage for the next one, which we hope is not anytime soon, that everybody also has a simple little AM/FM radio, maybe one with a dynamo. So, Al, let me go back to you for a final. Any words of wisdom on how we throughout the United States can help you on the East Coast with either health and welfare, traffic, or donations to our local agency? What do you think, Al? Back to you.
Yeah, I think that's important. And the ham radio really is, you know, the last place that communications are going to get through for people who want to get in touch with people who are just completely out of communication. The cell sites, of course, get completely saturated. And I noticed that during the hurricane, my cell phone was completely useless and I had no internet connectivity. And I sat here running on the generator thinking, yeah, ham radio, it's the only thing that gets through. And I was able last week, running on generator power with no internet, no other connectivity or communications, no phone, but I had the 40-meter net, and I was in touch with the rest of the country. Yeah, there are a lot of people here on the East Coast that could use all sorts of help. So, you know, donations and prayers, too. Some people have lost everything. So it's been a bad situation here. It was quite a huge storm, you know.
All right. Well, thanks, Al, for your firsthand report, and we just wish everyone well back there. Ham operators, we found that the little AA alkaline cell packs that are available for most handhelds are really coming in handy, especially when you have no capabilities to recharge a NiCad pack or a nickel metal hydride or a lithium ion. The little AA packs will get you through until you get some AC back. Well, we hope to see as many of you as possible. I hit New York City a week from this Thursday night, thanks to Bill Pasternak showing me all the secret ways in. And for the Radio Club of America, Hams, if you get an opportunity, explore all that Radio Club of America has with their education programs through Carol's Perry Group. And I think you'll find that they really make a difference in helping ham radio grow, especially among kids, which is Ms. Perry's specialty. So thanks, Al, and let me go back to Bob. Bob, over to you.
Thanks very much, guys. And Al, we wish you the best because I know it's a tough time right now, and appreciate you taking the time to be on with us. And we're going to come back to you at the end of the show as we prepare to get onto the AfterNet, because I know you do a lot of help with the 40-meter group out there with your big signal from the East Coast. So we'll be back to you to talk a little bit about that. But right now, we're going to go hear some more news from Don Wilbanks, who is going to bring us the latest in Newsline. So, Don, take it away, and let's see what else is going in the wonderful world of amateur radio.
From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1838, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, November 7, 2012. As Hurricane Sandy made her way across the Caribbean and up along the U.S. East Coast, ham radio operators have been tracking the storm's every move. When she made landfall on the New Jersey shore, they were ready to respond.
The hams who responded to Hurricane Sandy will never forget the destructive power of a superstorm that, to this point, has been unmatched in modern history. John Zaruba, K2ZA, is ARRL Section Emergency Coordinator for Southern New Jersey.
There was a lot of good ground intelligence, you know, where people, you know, were trying to get places, and there was a lot of reporting of, okay, this road's flooded, you can't go here, you have to reroute and go this way. So there was a lot of real-time information coming back that way.
Zaruba says the Red Cross was operational with shelters inland away from the coastal areas before the storm hit.
In some of the counties, 7 or 8 shelters actually operating. But as the storm passed through, they started consolidating things, getting, you know, people out that could go back to their homes, and other people that needed more long-term sheltering. They started moving them into more consolidated shelter facilities.
Now on to New York, where Sandy socked that city hard. Mike Lysenko, N2YBB, is ARRL section manager for the New York Long Island section.
We man the Emergency Operations Center at the American Red Cross of Greater New York in Midtown Manhattan.
Lysenko says the devastation is far worse outside the city and its environs.
In Nassau County, the response has been rather large because a good portion of the southern part of the county has seen complete devastation, primarily because they're very close to the water.
Lysenko says the many hams responding to help face some challenges even just getting into position.
There's widespread power outages. We're talking about millions of people without power. And also with damage that was done with downed trees, power lines, a tremendous amount of sand washed up on shore, houses displaced.
Lysenko and Zaruba say communities can rest assured amateur radio will be there when needed. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mark Abramovich, NT3V, in Philadelphia.
It'll be some time before we know the full extent of the work of amateur radio operators in response to this event that's been called the perfect storm. More in future Amateur Radio Newsline and Ham Nation reports. Amateur radio operators in Hawaii responded to a tsunami warning Saturday evening, October 27th, this by providing valuable information to emergency management officials after a magnitude 7.7 earthquake struck off the coast of British Columbia, Canada. Ron Hashiro, AH6RH, is the Hawaii State Civil Defense RACES Coordinator.
With the estimated wave arrival time of 10:28 p.m., we really had to hustle because now we're within the three-hour time limit that we would normally sound sirens. We had Kalani Ku, W86KX, on the north side of the island of Maui in Kahului Harbor, and Dave, L4A, and Kihei on the south side of the island, reporting ocean level changes. At 10:53 p.m., Kalani reported that the water was receding from Kahului Harbor, and shortly thereafter, Dave was reporting the same. For the next 2 hours, W86KX and AL4A passed timely reports of ocean level changes ranging from +2 feet to -3 feet below normal.
AH6RH says that the only major incident that took place came in a notice from the Hilo EOC. Hams there reported that the receding water in Hilo Bay caused the bottoms of boats to hit the floor of the bay. And back on May 2nd, Ham Nation brought you the story of Clint Bradford, K6LCS, and a big space station school contact. Now, Clint and his wife Karen have earned a special award from the Public Relations Society of America for their work in planning that ARIS event on April 19th. Called Live from Outer Space, the operation gave students a chance to speak to an astronaut in the orbiting International Space Station. Some 120 students of Flabab Airport Preparatory Academy, more than 80 parents, community leaders, and media representatives got to witness a live contact with the International Space Station. Flight engineer Don Pettit, KD5MDT, was on the ISS to answer questions posed by some of the students via ham radio. Congratulations to the Bradfords. And that's all from Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news brought to you each and every week for 35 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation.
Don, that's a great report. Some of those pictures, we don't see those in the media. Gordon, what goes on here with that? How come we don't see some of those? Just they were awful pictures in one respect, but terrific pictures to let us outside of there know what's going on. How come we don't see that in the media, Gordo? Weren't those great? They were great.
Yeah. Likely the hams are able to get back in behind the lines, providing emergency comms, and they take along their cameras and get shots where others can't. Boy, it really points out that we're lucky here on this side of the coast, and we're all thinking of those of you on the East Coast.
Yeah, incredible. Well, while you're sitting there on the West Coast or East Coast or Midwest or wherever, you sometimes want to read a book, but sometimes you don't have a book, but you have an iPad or a computer or something. Leo's going to tell you how you can do that. So let's go check in with good old Leo and see what TWT's got.
Hams, excuse me for just a moment. I'd like to, yes, I know. I'm in Australia right now. You know, when I flew there, it was a 14-and-a-half-hour flight last week. And you know what I did the whole time? Listen to audiobooks. It was, I mean, look, it. If you're 14-and-a-half hours in a plane, in economy, with a 9-year-old, you need Audible.com. Anytime you're driving, at work, at the gym, when I'm doing housework. I hate housework. Not with Audible. In fact, with Audible, I vacuum just a little bit longer because I'm so having so much fun listening to these audiobooks. Do you know about Audible? Visit Audible.com. Take a look because there's 100,000 titles there. Great stuff. Fiction, nonfiction. I'm a big history buff. I know a lot of hams are fascinated by history. The history collection is fantastic. Books about, you know, I just read the Einstein biography by Walter Isaacson. That was incredible. It's a great book on Tesla on Audible. I mean, it's an endless supply of treasure trove of information, of knowledge, of entertainment. In fact, it's kind of like, Audible's kind of like a movie theater in your head because these books are read by these guys who read these books are so good. The guys and gals, they're great actors. I'll give you an example. You know, there's a movie that just came out called Cloud Atlas. They said it would never be made because this novel's unfilmable. Well, I thought before I see the movie, I think maybe I ought to listen to the novel. Incredible because it's interlocking stories and each has a different narrator, a different voice, a different style. And Audible, the production is so much better than the movie because I saw it in my head and your imagination just brings it to life. Here's the deal. I wanted to have you try Audible for free. So what you're going to do is go to audiblepodcast.com/hamnation. audiblepodcast.com/hamnation. And at that point, you can sign up for the gold account. That's a book a month, a credit a month. But most books are a single credit. And your first month's free. Your first book is free. Cancel at any time, pay nothing, but that book is yours to keep forever. Now, I suspect you're not going to cancel because I think once you start listening to audiobooks, you never go back. But maybe it's not for everyone, so you give it a try and see if you like it. It's funny, my son, who's 18, hardest time to get him to read, really difficult. And I thought, you know, he told me the other day, he said, I can read about a page and my mind wanders. Even, you know, it's not that I'm sleepy, I just wander. And I said, Henry, you're interested in physics right now? He was studying string theory. I got him a book on Audible by a guy named, I think it's Brian Greene, on string theory. He read it cover to cover. He listened to it cover to cover. There was something about the audio, and I thought, you know, I think he's a little bit like me. I think he is maybe an auditory learner. If you have a kid who's having a hard time reading, they have young adult books. They even have children's books. And it's just a great place for them. The Brian Greene book that he listened to, he's a physicist at Columbia, is called The Elegant Universe. Highly recommended. And it's so turned on Henry to physics. Now he says, I love physics. I want to be a physicist. Audible, it's great. audiblepodcast.com/hamnation. Thank you, Audible. I'm sorry, I went on and on. Now back to you, hams.
Yeah, but you went on and on because you like it, and so do we. That's great. And you guys should all check into Audible. It's really fabulous. Well, Gordo, you know that I have been missing one of my most beloved things. I already have Sarah with me, so it's not that. And we have this great place to put up all these antennas. So what was remaining to really make me very happy here in Pleasant Hope?
Yeah, I think it's your music machine, Bob. And I suggested that you needed an organ transplant. And this is not one physical, but one musical. So how about it, Bob? Did we get an organ transplant so we can hear you play a little bit on the next time we come visit?
Yeah, it was a transplant, all right. I'm going to roll a few things here, Alex has, and we'll talk you through some of it and right at the end, maybe we'll make some noise with it. So crank her up, Alex, and we'll try to page through it here and let you see what's going on. This this is an instrument. It's rather large. This is it in Illinois. There, that was a cover shot for my latest CD that was done in that studio. And it's a magnificent piece of technology. But how are we going to get it here? We had this great outbuilding, had a nice apartment, hardwood floors, slanted ceiling. I said, this is going to sound great if I could ever get the organ up here. But how do you do it? It wouldn't fit up the stairs. It's 500 or 600 pounds. And so I had a couple of guys come in here that had built this barn originally, hard to call this a barn, and they built a special 4-foot by 6-foot door on the second floor. There are no stairways, so don't go charging out the door. So the dealer in St. Louis came to my home in Illinois and picked up my beloved theater organ, and they drove it down to Pleasant Hope, and here they are moving it across the driveway. And that's Dan, K0GQ, there on the side we saw. They moved this baby around, but how do you get it upstairs? It's, like, really heavy. Well, Jeremy, my bucket truck friend from Complete Electric here, brought in their big, monstrous machine, and we lifted it up to the second floor, and here it is, and it made it quite safely. So we were happy to have it all there. There's 250 stop tablets, 3 keyboards, all the pedals, 32 pedals, 10 speakers, many hundred watts, and it's all digital. They sampled organs around the world. It is an amazing piece of technology. I've been playing Wurlitzers for many years in the theaters, but I've never heard this before because it's an actual sample of the pipe organ. And here's some sounds. We made it. We made it. And somebody, I think it was Chip in the chat room, said at 3 o'clock in the morning, yeah, I do. I go out there and play very early, but who's going to hear me out here? Well, as long as I hear me, it's okay. And we're working on some things. There's several theaters around here that have Wurlitzers in them, and we'll be doing some more shows there. But anyway, it's what guided my whole career was learning to listen, tuning and voicing the pipes of the mighty Wurlitzer. No, it's not a hockey organ. It's a very, very special instrument that was developed in 1910 to replace an entire orchestra. And called the Mighty Wurlitzer. It was not an organ. It was actually patented as a unit orchestra. It has real xylophones, real oboes, real clarinets. The organ I have here has three Steinway pianos, drums, cymbals, tambourines, as well as a gorgeous bunch of beautiful other strings and so on and so forth. But it's really, really a great thing, and I enjoy playing it. And I do it every day, just about, so we're happy to do that. And I thought I'd share it with you. There's my organ transplant. I made it quite well, Gordo. Thank you for the support. You wanted me to do that, so.
It was great, and I love the CW intro. I heard it.
He got that. Okay. I do that on a lot of my concerts, and it's always amazing how many, after I get off the bench, come out front, how many people picked up on that. Oh, gosh. Hey, you guys are sending in lots of really cool pictures, and here's a couple of them that we want to show you. This one, I just couldn't believe this one. John, K1LLL, sent these pictures in. You're going to love this, Gordo. Let's see if we can see some of his station. He's living on a boat. Look at this. And on this yacht, he's got a gorgeous ham radio station.
Wow.
And really enjoys it. And so it's a working station. John, he's an engineer at a radio TV station. He's been into that side of the business for years. And I see he's got his PR-40 and his Heil boom. Yeah. It's good stuff. So he's got a great signal coming out of that yacht, let me tell you. And he operates all the bands. And once in a while, you'll hear him on the air. There he is at his work. A little bit bigger transmitters, Gordon.
Yes.
Yeah, baby. And he also has some help once in a while operating. Look at this. Is she cute? So I thank you, John, for sending those in. And all of you, send us some pictures. We want pictures. Look at that little darling. That's so cool. So we want to see what you guys are doing, too. And just send them in. You got my call, and you can look it up in QRZ and just email them in, and we'll make it all happen. Absolutely. George, I bet you recognize some of the stuff behind him when you saw John at his workplace there. What do you think?
I sure did, and I think I might have one or two pieces over here in my ham rack so that survived a previous life in broadcasting. I noticed a good bit of that, and you know, it's the same kind of stuff, just bigger.
Yeah. One thing about the ham radio hobby is it can lead to a great career, and these are things that a lot of people might not think about, but they should, because you, myself, Gordon, so many, just thousands of people that I've met over the years, if it wasn't for ham radio, don't know what we'd be doing. So show everybody what you learned to do with the soldering iron that really has made a lot of radio and TV stations stay on the air, George. Let's see what's happening.
Okay, Bob. This week I'm doing something a little bit different. You know, I work on something just about every week now to have something here for the show. This week, I've kind of done something like this before, but not exactly. So, Alex, if you've got the video there.
This week on Smoke and Solder, we're going to do something that I've done before. Yes, I'm well known as a master speaker builder, but this time we're going to build one out of something besides recycled material. We're going to build the Dayton BR1 two-way reference monitor system, which is a nice kit that we got from Parts Express. Now, this kit comes with the cabinet already built, so we won't have to do any woodworking, although I believe they do have kits where you could build your own cabinets as well. But this one's already pre-built. The BR1 was designed by lifelong audio enthusiast and speaker builder Paul Holsapple. Paul has many years of experience in designing and building high-end speakers, and he set out this time to build a low-cost system that could rival some of the high-end name brands. And the reviews I see on this kit are quite phenomenal for a $159 set of speakers. The cabinet is built out of 5/8 inch thick MDF material and has an internal volume of about 0.52 cubic feet. And it utilizes an extended base shelf alignment, and it's tuned to 38 hertz with a rear-mounted port. You notice two holes here. Well, we've got one that this is for a 6.5-inch Dayton subwoofer. Now, this is a nice little speaker. It's got a rubber surround on it, not a foam surround that can deteriorate over time. And it's also got a really big magnet there. And it's an 8-ohm speaker. I'm not sure of the wattage of it, although I can probably find that out. But this will be our woofer and mount in here. For our tweeter, we've got a 1 1/8-inch silk dome tweeter. Now, this is real good for not just dispersing the high frequencies just out of the center of the speaker like a cone would, but all the way around the dome here. That means that it's easier to sit in the sweet spot of the speakers. You don't have to be right in the middle. Now, you know, with a two-way loudspeaker system like this, you've got the woofer down here, which is going to do the bass, and the tweeter up here that's going to do the treble. You also need a crossover to go with this because you don't want to send low-frequency signals to this tweeter and cause it to try to reproduce frequencies it was not intended for. It could actually damage the tweeter as well as not making it sound very nice. The same thing for the woofer. There's no reason that you'd want to send real high frequencies through a speaker like this. The crossover filters it out so that only the bass frequencies go to the woofer while the treble frequencies will go up here to the tweeter. This crossover is unique in the fact that it was designed specifically for these speakers, not just to separate the low and high frequencies, but to match the impedance of the speakers and the resonances of the cabinet as well. First, we'll mount C1, and C1 is a 6.2 microfarad capacitor. Now, this is an audio-grade capacitor, and, you know, normally when you got capacitors a microfarad or over, you're going to see a plus or a minus on here. There's none on this capacitor. This is a non-polarized capacitor, and that means that you can't put it in backwards. I'm going to use hot glue because that's what I've got handy here. We don't want these to rattle around. You know, at bass frequencies, things can jump around in that cabinet a little bit. So we'll just hot glue it here to make sure that this stays exactly where we want it. As a matter of fact, I'll hot glue all of the capacitors and resistors to the board so they don't vibrate, except for R1. R1 is a larger resistor, and it can kind of get warm during usage, so we'll mount it with it standing up a little bit off the board. Now I'll solder all the components to the board and make sure that I get a good joint there because it's going to be a lot of shaking and rattling and rolling going on in that cabinet, and we don't want these joints breaking loose. Now, the only thing that's left here are these two large inductors, but there's one other thing that we need to do here. If you'll notice, all of these terminals here are riveted into the board with brads. However, they're not soldered. So we need to take a moment and go and solder all of these while they might be making an electrical connection right now. With the vibration that's going to be going on inside this speaker cabinet, they can certainly get loose easy enough. So we want to make sure that all of these terminals are soldered to the board well. L2 is a 1.5 millihenry. It's made out of 18-gauge wire here. They've already done a nice job of winding it for us. And what we need to do is mount it to the board and solder the wires in. And we're going to hot glue it around here to, as we did the capacitors. And now we'll mount L1 to the board. But notice that we're mounting it sideways. That's so that the two inductors don't interact with each other. And a little bit of soldering on the inductors here. And now here's our two crossover boards, all ready to go into the kit. Now we need to connect all this stuff together, so we'll take the included speaker wire and cut it into 6 12-inch lengths and then we'll put crimp terminals on each end of all the wires. Now, on speaker-level signals, the crimping should be good enough, but I had a bad experience with crimp terminals once as a child, so I'm going to solder these anyway. The instructions say that we should take a pair of pliers and squeeze down with light pressure on the end of all the terminals so that they will connect good and firm to the speakers and the crossover. Now, there's one other thing I want to show you here about speaker wire. You know, our audio signals are polarized, and we need to make sure that we are maintaining our positives and negatives on this cable so that we don't end up with a situation of having an out-of-phase speaker. Most all speaker wire are zip cord. There's a little edge right down here. I don't know that you can see it. Maybe you can, but you can definitely feel it, and that's how you can identify the two ends of the cable. Now, the next thing I'm going to do here is just mark all of these cables so that it'll be easier for me to keep up with them when I go to put them on the board. So the ribbed wire, I'm going to mark the connector here with a black Sharpie at both ends. Now we'll put a set of wires on each set of terminals here, and the ones that I have marked black, the ones with the ribs, will be the ones that I put on the positive terminals. And we want to make sure that all these fit good and tight and go all the way down. And now it's time to mount the crossovers in the box. And to do this, they also recommend glue. You could use screws, but that would be hard to screw into this material and not go through the outer side. So I agree that using some hot glue is going to be the best method. Okay, both of those are on good. So we can put this back together. Now, when I first saw this, I thought it was packing material, but it turns out it's actually the acoustic damping foam that's used to absorb reflections inside the cabinet to keep them off the cone of the woofer. So we need to trim it to size and install it. And now it's almost time to put the speaker in, but we don't want this vibrating against the cabinet, and we want to have a good air seal around there too. So they have supplied us here with some of this caulk bead. Now this stuff is essentially the same thing as coax seal. It is sticky. The tweeters already have a gasket around them. Oops. And if we tried to use some caulk on it, they probably wouldn't fit flush with the cabinet anymore. And at last, it's time to connect the speakers and mount them. So our positive lead is the one I've marked with black here on the terminal. That goes to the red lead here on the tweeter. And the woofer, it's more or less the same way. There's a little red dot here where the positive lead goes. And I've marked my terminal here black. So that's the positive lead. Now I've got these screws in here finger tight. And it's time for the most dangerous step of this project. And that is driving these screws in, because one slip of the screwdriver, you've put a hole through the cone and you've wasted a perfectly good speaker. So to do this, I'm going to make sure that I've got a good sharp tip here on my screwdriver, one that doesn't have rounded off corners on it, and just try to be very careful. I'll put my fingers around it like this to hopefully prevent me from slipping. One more part to go on here. So now that I've completed the speakers, there's only one thing left to do, and that's to kick back and listen to some music and enjoy them. My first impression is these are quite good. I'm amazed at the amount of bass they have for a 6.5-inch woofer, and the top end is good and clean and not harsh. That was a lot of fun. Not necessarily ham radio, although most all of us are going to need some kind of speaker. But, boy, I didn't realize what I was missing. I thought the speakers I was using out here were pretty decent, but putting these in really made a lot of difference. They're not that expensive, $159 for a kit, and they sound pretty much like studio reference monitors. And really, the bass is
something else. I couldn't believe it, although I do supplement them with the subwoofer that helps put that little bit of extra kick in there that a drummer likes. But there you go. Let's give away something drummers here.
Hey, you drummers are all alike. You know that, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. As a matter of fact, on my drummer's throne, you know, the stool that a drummer sits on, I've got a butt kicker under it hooked to an 800-watt amp so that I can feel my seat rattle when I play, because I use electric drums a lot.
Okay. You cannot, you're going to have to explain to the audience what butt kicker is, because a lot of people might not know, so you better continue on and explain that.
Well, it's not my wife standing behind me while I'm trying to play. It's a speaker. It's a voice coil and a magnet, just like a regular speaker would have, except instead of a cone, it's got, the ones I use have a little, I don't know what you'd call it, a little knob that sticks out where the cone would be, and it presses up against the side of the cabinet, and the thing just vibrates with the bass. You know, they make these to go under car seats, to put in your couch for your home theater system, anywhere you want to feel that bass, because, you know, real low frequencies, you don't hear as much as you feel them. And it really helps out a lot. For a drummer, it helps you sit in the pocket, because you can feel your bass drum and you can feel the bass guitar player so much better. Really makes a big difference. So a butt kicker, no, not what you were thinking. It's actually just a vibrating type of speaker, one that you don't hear, but
George,
you feel.
George, the technical term is a thumper.
A thumper, okay. Okay.
Well, now, on with your contest. I didn't want to interrupt you, but we had to clarify the butt kicker. So we did. And what are we giving away? Who's going to win this?
Well, we're still giving away a couple of things. If if you didn't win that ICOM IC7000 we gave away here a few weeks back, you still got the opportunity to get in on the contest to win an IC7200, along with some great other prizes from MFJ and Heil Sound, Gordon West, The Wireman. It's that HF station giveaway we're doing over at Amateur Logic. So go check out the last episode of AmateurLogic.tv. Get your name in the hat, because there's 1 month left before we're going to draw it and give it away to some lucky ham. For our normal contest, last week I asked a question, what should I build next? Well, I got a lot of answers. There were no wrong answers. I have not had a chance to go through them all yet. But we're going to give away a copy of this Construction HF Wire Antennas book. And our lucky winner was Richard, K8RMM. And he said, George, I'd like to see more technical segments such as antennas, audio, and RF electronics, how to build a VU meter, how to build a 12-volt regulated DC power supply for your handy talkie. And, oh, by the way, just another tip on microphone placement. Point the microphone at your mouth, not at your breath. And that's another good way of saying don't pop your peas. So for next week, I've got a prize here that we've given away a number of these before. And Araham needs one. It's MFJ 24-hour clock. You can use to set your UTC time with, and you'll know what time it is, no matter where in the world you are. And if you'd like to win that, well, this is kind of related to this week's subject on Smoke and Solder. We're not talking about a girl here. Tell me, what is a Sweet 16? And email your answer to hamnationcontest@gmail.com. And we'll see how many old hi-fi buffs there are out there, Bob.
That'll be good. Really, that'll be great. All right. As always, super duper. Enjoy that so much, George. Good work, good work. We've had a lot of questions in the old chat room. One of them is, where do you get this? You can get that by going on, actually just calling Heil Sound. Phone numbers on the website. Call Heil Sound and they'll fix you up. And somebody asked about this. This is what we do. This is one of my prize pictures that was done in a chamber. You can see the actual brass trumpets from about, they get down to about 1 inch long out to 16 foot long, and they're actual brass bells and saxophones, oboes, just like, and each one of them have to be voiced and tuned. That's where I learned to listen as a young kid at the Fox in St. Louis. So it really, really played well in my career to be able to listen. And then tying with ham radio, I learned how to operate that soldering iron, and away we went. Gordon, you have some words about ICOM. I want to know if you can see it, but up here behind me is a new 7600. I've had it for some time, but I didn't have a place to put it, but now I do. And below it's a 7800, and over there's a 7000. So very familiar with what's going on in the line. We'll have to talk about that 7600 because I really like it, the receiver, and it's great. What have you got words of wisdom that you can tell us about ICOM tonight?
Well, Ray was telling me that the first analog PLL circuit, which you and I remember in the old ICOM 200, all the way to the groundbreaking 32 DSP technology now in the IC756 Pro, ICOM America has developed some of the most innovative radio equipment ever made. And we'll roll some video here, and we'll show you what Julian's been working on. So, Alex, if you'll go ahead and roll the ICOM DSP video. ICOM's DSP technology started way back in 1995 with the ICOM 775 DSP. And although marketed as only an AF DSP, this unit has an A to D converter actually sampling signals in the final IF with a product detector within the DSP circuit. Now, fast forward to ICOM's current HF product line. And with the exception of the 718, which does have audio DSP, all ICOM HF radios benefit from the design surrounding IF DSP. Now, IF DSP reduces and eliminates interference and the masking effects caused by strong interfering signals and allowing the AGC to focus on the weaker target signals. And the current IF DSP HF radios from ICOM have the following basic tools. AGC loop management. So when you've got a pileup like this past weekend, ICOM will handle it. You can build your own IF filters, digital twin passband tuning with filter width and shift, and automatic and manual notch filters, selectable wide, medium, and narrow. Noise blanker and all ICOM gear, speech compression, and the advanced features available on the 7600, 7700, and 7800 also include microphone transmit equalization, receive audio equalization, dedicated 32-bit DSP for real-time band scope. So when you're battling the contest like this, CW Auto Peak filters for the ICOM 7700 and 7800 will make it easier for you to tune in or tune out the interference. Now, the older ICOM 7800 and 7700 IF DSP units rated at 1,800 megaflops will stand up to the newer DSP units used in the 9100, which we have here, rated at 2,000 megaflops. Now, make sure to visit ICOM America, /Ham Nation, for more information on the powerful IF DSP radios that ICOM has. And you can also enter ICOM's weekly drawing for ICOM swag, such as T-shirts and hats. And congratulations to our previous week's winners. Say that fast. To check out the winning participants, visit ICOM.com/ham nation and click the view last week's winner link. ICOM America, thank you for supporting Ham Nation. And as you can hear, 9100 was a big hit this past weekend during the sweepstakes. Bob, back to you.
That's great. 775. What a great piece of gear that was. And it really woke up the industry, that's for sure. Gordon, I think here at the end, we should bring Al back if we still have him on the Skype. Let's see if we can bring Al back and talk a little bit about what he's doing there. We're just about out of time, but we're going to take time here to talk to Al a little bit before we close. Al, are you still with us? Snow hasn't got you, right?
No, not yet, Bob. It's howling. The wind's howling out there, and it's still coming down, but it hasn't got me yet.
Well, we really appreciate you helping Mike with the nets. There's so many of you guys make the after show nets so much fun. Tell us a little bit about your gear and also about what you're doing with your video during that. I'm really intrigued about some of the stuff you guys are doing. Let's hear about that.
Oh, sure. Okay. Well, I'll show you the gear I use for the net. It's the ICOM 7700. And over here in front of me, but I got my hands on it, you can't see it, is the ICOM PW1, the big black cube that puts out a kilowatt and doesn't make any noise. And then out in the backyard is a 70-foot tower with a three-element stepper antenna. So that's what I'm using on the net. And we have a great time every week. We've got the 40-meter Ham Nation family, and we all look forward to hearing from each other. And every week we get more check-ins. We've gone well over 100, and it builds every week. One of the things I did was I threw together a very simple web page, and we use Ustream for live video. So Mike out in Gilroy and Dale, who's out near Wichita, he's our center of the country net control, and I'm on the East Coast. We have live video while we run the net on that page, and it's at hamnation40.com. And you can watch us as we're conducting the net. But in addition to that, we all have live feeds of audio. So I take the digital feed out of my 7700 and put it out on Ustream. So if you listen to my stream and you want to know, what does my signal sound like on the East Coast? Well, you can find out. You can listen to yourself come back on the Ustream feed. So again, that's at hamnation40.com. And it's just a little fun. It adds it adds another dimension to it. But so many people want to check in and let us know what they enjoyed about the show. I know tonight, for sure, we're going to be hearing about that Wurlitzer, Bob. Everybody loves that. And George's T-shirt. I got to get one of those. Boy, do I need one.
Yeah, it works.
Yes, that is great.
I've been doing tech support all day. I had to have a break.
George, tell us about, you've got a special on D-Star tonight, right? We're going to do that a little bit different on the D-Star net.
Well, tonight Don is going to be calling the D-Star net for us. So you on D-Star, go join us on Reflector 14 Module C or listen at WX480X.com and see Don live and in person from Amateur Radio Newsline. For EchoLink, join us on star, do drop in star, or node number 355-800.
That's great. All right. Thanks, George. And no 20-meter net, because we're on regular time, the band is pretty well closed down. I can hear everybody getting ready on the 40-meter net. We're on 7268. I'm hearing someone nearby, but we'll be far enough away. Yeah, there he is.
Hey, Gordo, you might want to try 7282. I thought I saw a post in the chat room from Mike that they're going to try 7282 also, because I think they might be trying some special stuff there on 68 with the emergencies. So you might try 82 also.
That's a pretty good point. All right, I'm tuned in, 7282.
Yeah, you can hear him.
Al, you're coming through just fine. So back to you, Bob, and we'll look forward to seeing everybody next week, and then we'll look forward to seeing many of you in New York City as well as New Jersey and on Long Island. 73 from Gordon, WB6NOA.
Gordo, look at that, man. That's coast to coast on 40 meters from LTJ. That's pretty cool. So super. super duper. One last thing to Dennis, NX0IA, asked about the organ. It's an Allen. It's a very special Allen designed by Lynn Larson, one of the world's best concert organists. And it's really quite special. It's a sampled Allen of 24 ranks of Wurlitzer, Robert Morton, and there's even some Skinner in it. It's all kinds of different pipes brands. It's really wonderful. Next week, we're going to have a very special video about how we put this tower up out in the meadow. So you don't want to miss that. And it's it was a four-month project. We stuffed it down into about 6 minutes. And we'll go through some of this gear one of these nights. I don't want to bore you guys with all this, but there's some things to learn about what's going on behind me and why we did it and what works and how it works and all that. But next week, we're going to talk about the tower for the VHF and HF antennas. So that's it from Ham Nation crew tonight. We had a great time, and I hope you did too. Share all this with your club members. Note that Gordon and I will be at the Suffolk Club in New York a week from Tuesday on the 20th. He's going to be there live. I'm going to be there by Skype. So if you got a club, let us know, because George and Gordo and I, not all at the same time, but we do club meetings. And I'm really excited. I'll do one tomorrow night out in Utah. So you want to spark up your club, because that's the lifeblood of amateur radio, or the clubs. So let us know and we'll come join your club. It's real easy. All you got to do is put some Skype in and away you go. Thanks a lot, everybody. We'll see you on the bands here after the net. And I appreciate everybody back in Petaluma putting this all together. George, good night to you. Gordo, you take care. Julian, wherever you are. there he is. Oh, that's great. Alex, Karsten, see y'all later. 7-3, everybody. From Pleasant Hope, Missouri, it's K9EID.